Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Super Saturday, this divisional playoff weekend, January 20th, 2024, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, and of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, and then our high school world, Body Armor, Coca-Cola beverages, and we've got a lot of exciting things taking place in the world of high school that we'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks as we expand that coverage. I'm Mike Rickard, joined by baseball Ben Botham across from me, and as always, we're on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live on our Florida Sports Streams channel, and that's on RadioSt.Pete.com from Ferg's. And of course, today we'll be talking Bucks, Lions, big game. We've got Three Buck alumni today. Barry Smith will join us, who he consistently does. And then we've got Steve DeBerg, former quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's his 70th birthday. We'll be talking to Steve. He's just a hoot. But he's also, if you're not familiar with him, he's going to have Christian Akoya, former what was his bio there, Ben? Christian Akoya, he was, Pro Bowler a couple times, led the league in rushing. They called him the Nigerian Nightmare.
Yeah, so the Nigerian Nightmare, he played with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I saw him in person. That's sad. That's how old I am.
As an American football fullback from 1987 to 1992, he was known for his powerful running style and ability to break tackles. He spent six seasons in the NFL, and he held a NFL rushing title in the year 1989 and even got All-Pro honors in 89. And he was elected to the Pro Bowl in 89 and 1991, and even entered the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame in the year 2000.
And that was a short career, and I'll tell you why. Because at 24 years of age, coming over from Nigeria, he came to the States. He was a world-class discus thrower, and he thought he was going to make the Nigerian Olympic team. So he went to Azuzu Pacific, which is an NAIA power, for that kind of training. The Nigerians, because he was in America, got upset and did not put him on the team. So he went to the football coach, said, "I want to play football." Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. So he was 24 years old when he began. So he entered the NFL probably in his about 27, 28.
Yeah, I mean, 6 foot one, 253 pounds. He was a big son of a gun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Look at some video of that dude. So we'll be talking to him and Steve DeBerg. They're out in a golf course up in North Carolina, and we'll have a little fun with that. And then Randy Grimes, he was a teammate of his and snapped the ball to him. So we'll get their breakdown of this 2024 Lions-Bucks game and what they think of this team as well. And then the big O, Oscar Garner III, the Detroit Lion fan, back in his home city of Detroit. He's going to paint the picture for us in the second hour of what's going on. And what did you guys say this morning? The tickets are just like in the nosebleeds, $6?
$600?
In the nosebleeds?
Yeah, that's pretty. That's a little too rich for my blood there, Mike. I will say that.
Well, think about it. You've had 32 years to save the money.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the first time in 32 years that they've had their second playoff appearance, and the first one was last week. So, you've got your shekels saved up for that. First hour, we're going to talk, of course, in our Tampa Bay Rowdies and Coca-Cola beverages conversation with Jim Hart and David Wilson as they talk about last week's champions event down at Al Lang, and that was the their championship game last Saturday night. We'll talk about that. They're both at that. And then Brad Richardson, the voice of the Seminole Warhawks, he will join us as well and talk about basketball, a little conversation there, boys and girls, and maybe throw a little wrestling in there. So he's gonna join us as well. So strap it on. I'm looking forward to that second hour. That's gonna be fun. These guys sharing stories. Steve DeBerg had me dying yesterday. They telling stories what he can't share on the air about some of the things that take place in the NFL. How many teams was he on? Did we figure seven teams?
For Steve DeBerg, he was
I know Kansas Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos.
Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers, Denver Broncos, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kansas City Chiefs again, Miami Dolphins, and Atlanta Falcons.
Wow. Seven teams. Mm-hmm. And I saw him replaced by two Hall of Famers twice. When he was at Kansas City, he was at the game when Joe Montana replaced him.
That's pretty remarkable.
And I saw him at Mile High Stadium in 1984 when he was a decent starter. And all of a sudden, they were playing against Kansas City, who he'd end up playing for. And the fans were going nuts. Next thing you know, they brought in number seven. Yeah. And he might have had a little bit of a career. John Elway, that was his start. He was the rookie. Mm-hmm. And the place erupted, and the rest is history. Two Super Bowls, five Super Bowl appearances, and of course, a Hall of Famer, John Elway. So I told him on the phone, I said, I saw you replaced by two guys. He goes, well, thanks for bringing that up. But he had it. Can you imagine? That's a great career to have.
It certainly is.
Being the backup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was a starter a lot of those teams. But being the backup is a position you want to be in.
Hey, that's the best position in sports there, Mike.
For longevity.
Yeah. He even coached on a few teams. He was the quarterback coach for the New York Giants, the Indiana Firebirds. He was the head coach.
Firebirds.
And even coached for the Tampa Bay Storm. Mike.
Oh, he right across the street.
Hey, you got it right.
He would have been here at the drop.
2004, the quarterback coach.
Was he really?
Yep.
I'm glad you brought that factoid up, but we'll have to talk about that. That's about the time that Mark Ferguson asked his lovely bride to get married across the street, mm-hmm, at a Storm game, and did the old big screen thing.
That's awesome.
So that's dangerous.
Yeah. She better say
you gotta
yes.
You got to have a lot of confidence you're going to do that. All right, we're brought to you, of course, as I said, by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. And you can listen to us on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on WTAN 106.1 FM. Matt up there on the controls, operating each and every show for us, and I'm very appreciative. On the T Florida on Thursdays, he does a superb job. And then, of course, on Saturdays, and that's on AM 1340. That's Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. WZHR FM 104.3 FM, AM 1350. And WZHR 102.3 FM, AM 1400. Lake City, AM 1250. Gainesville, AM 1340. Covering all Tampa Bay and streaming live on Tampa Bay and streaming on TanTalkRadio.com. So do we need to talk about your gambling habit again?
Mike, there's
have you even got your bets in for tomorrow?
I got today. I got a couple good bets here. I have Lamar Jackson throws one plus TD or rushes for one plus TD in the first quarter. That's plus 125.
Well, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So I threw in $10 on that. $10 to win.
Oh my God, you went out of your comfort zone.
I know. I usually stick in the fives.
You left it. So that's going to be a loss.
More than likely, unfortunately.
Stay within what's been working for you.
Yeah. A four-bet parlay. I did two of these. They kind of go against each other, but just kind of covering my butt a little bit. I have Texans spread plus 10, 49ers to win, Buccaneers plus 10, and Bills to win. All that is plus 471. And then I did a four-bet parlay as well. Ravens to win, 49ers to win, Bucks to win, Bills to win. That is plus 687. And then I did another four-bet parlay, Texans, 49ers, Bucks, and Bills to win. That's plus 2,988. And Houston Texans, I did Super Bowl 58 winner. That was plus 3,000 when I bet it. And I also did Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl winner. That was plus 3,000 when I bet it as well. So just kind of rolling the dice, seeing what happens. $5 to win 155. You know, I'll take that all day and night.
Are you negative yet?
I'm still positive. I got some help on my lightning bets.
Thanks to Joe Geiger.
Thanks to Joe Geiger over there. He won me some money.
He went
money.
To the game this week.
Really? Hey, that's pretty cool. And
this kid goes to more games at his age. I know what I'm paying him. I don't know where he's getting his side hustle at, but he goes to a lot of ball games. Bowl games, NFL, ACC championships. Yeah, it's great to still live at home at times, I think.
Yeah, I know. But the big thing that the Hard Rock Bet app is doing right now is you can opt in to win two tickets to the Big Game Watch Party. So the Seminole Gaming Big Game Sweepstakes, the grand prize experience will include two tickets to the Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook VIP Big Game Watch Party at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida on February 11th, 2024. One night stay at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida, and $5,000 cash, Mike.
Well, that's got your name all over it, buddy.
Yeah, I already opted in. There's going to be an additional 1,000 other prizes. That will include 1,000 bonus bets for 20 winners, 500 bonus bets for 40 winners, a $250 bonus bet for 50, a $100 bonus bet, a $50 bonus bet, and a 25 bonus bet. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that you can win and promos and things going on. So make sure that you guys opt in and start betting now with the Hard Rock. And you can even get more entries into it with the more with some of your loyalty reward points that you can spend.
And we'll talk about that relationship down the road here. Let's get back to the purity of sport, the high schools, where you're at, Seminole, the positive things, where nobody's gambling or wagering on the outcome or performance of young athletes. And, of course, it's our Coca-Cola and Body Armor Tampa Bay Rowdy segment. We got Jim Hart online and David Wilson. And I tell you what, I got the interns working on this exceptional award that they're going to be presenting David Wilson when he comes down here. He is the ball boy of the year, the most accomplished most accomplished ball boy in the history of soccer in the area. And I'm pleased to announce that today right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. David, well-deserved award for your performance last week.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
Congratulations, David.
You didn't see that one coming, did you? I still think it's a classic. You're sitting up there last week and your feet kicked up and drinking hot chocolate. David Wilson's out there running around chasing balls and keeping the flow of the game going, and you're calling me and chilling out.
Yeah, Mike, we did a comparison. That day I did 26,000 steps and Jim did 7.
Hey, should I ask Ben Botham what the odds on that is?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, gentlemen, let's talk about last weekend. Of course, you called us from the semifinals, both of you, and give us the results of those games, and then, of course, travel down to Al Lang that evening for the championship. And let's get a breakdown.
Take it, David.
All right. Well, you know, I was at the semifinals over at Jesuit, and four really good teams that are playing there. They all represent their schools really well, and their coaches, and just fantastic games. And I thought the first game that Mitchell was going to have a great chance getting up 1-0 early in the game, and Tampa Prep is just that good. And they, you know, came back, scored, and scored again, and scored again, and it's just like, God, this team is so good. So they pulled away with that one. Jesuit had the better of Osceola in the other semifinals, so we headed over to Outland to watch the gameplay. And a week earlier, Jesuit had beat Tampa Prep in the Tampa Bay Invitational 2-1, so we knew it was going to be a close one. And Tampa Prep was just amazing during the night. You know, came away with the 3-0 victory, but just an outstanding game. And, you know, playing on that facility and that atmosphere just made it even more special. But they were our Tampa Bay Top 10 Loki Capital champions for the second time in 6 years. Jimmy, you want to do the girls?
Yes. The girls' semifinals were amazing. You know, there's a story that's kind of emerging, and it's the rise of Pasco County. One of the semifinals was Sun Lake High School versus Cypress Creek, both Pasco County schools. Fantastic game. I think the final score is 4-2 in favor of Sun Lake, but really a back and forth game. They both teams have girls that are elite, that are high scorers. I think the girl from Cypress Creek scored her 100th career goal during the game, and and has about 40 this year. And the Sun Lake girl has about 30 goals this year. Sun Lake advanced to the final against Palm Harbor. Palm Harbor put to bed Berkeley Prep fairly easily. And then when they got to Al Lang, what a game, Mike. What a game. I mean, it was so exciting. And as David said, like with the boys, these kids did justice to the event. They did not look like a bunch of kids in that didn't belong there. They really managed the space. And one of the things about high school soccer, high school fields are smaller because they have a track around them, you know, and they have some of it, they're kind of narrow. Where Al Lang is wide, it's got to be like 75 yards wide versus maybe the 62 or 3 that these kids play on. They did not look lost out there. They looked like they belonged there. It was exciting. And Sun Lake came away with the win. establishing dominance over the previously dominant Palm Harbor for a long time. So Sun Lake is in pole position to make a real good run for the state title. Cypress Creek, I would keep an eye on, though. That's a good team, too. So we really had a great event, Mike.
How was the fan reception of having the event down there at Al Lang, and you know Ryan Elmerich and the gang so kind to allow that to happen, and I'm sure the fan experience, the kids had to be ecstatic because they've been probably going to Rowdy's games since they're youngsters watching the Rowdy's play, and there they are playing. You know, it's kind of like getting to play a baseball game across the street here at the Trop or a football game in Ray J as far as relevancy in the high school and the pros. What an outstanding opportunity for these kids. What was the feedback?
It was great. There were a lot of fans there. There were about 500 on the day as an attendance, which is fantastic because we didn't know who was going to be in the final until about 1 o'clock that afternoon, because we had the semifinals that morning. David's got some plans for next year's schedule. David, do you want to talk about that? And you want to talk about the fan involvement?
Because that's got to be tough, fellas. Trying to gauge that when it's a same day situation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the definite trouble because everybody has to plan for being there, and then half the people aren't. And you get the if you lose in the semifinals, you feel bad for the kids. The kids feel bad, and it's not like they said, "Hey, let's go to the finals now." So that gets to be tough sometimes. But the group that got there was very into the game. The staff at Al Lang Stadium was incredible. They had 15, 20 people working there, and I think the big highlight of the night was that at the end, when concessions was done, they packed up all the popcorn in these giant bags and they handed them out to the people in the crowd. And you look around and there's these giant bags of popcorn being shared by everybody. And I believe Jim Hart walked home with one of the bags afterwards.
I don't doubt it. He sits around drinking hot chocolate in the media room, and now he's turned into a definite media guy. He's getting anything that's F-R-E-E. If it's F-R-E-E, it's for me. That's Jim Hart's bio at the sporting events, apparently.
Well, he's actually really easy. If we have to just pay him, we don't get paid anything. It's a nonprofit organization that Jim and I run here, and we don't pay him, but if I say, listen, just get Jim a bag of popcorn, and he'll be happy. That was great.
Well, I'd be right behind him.
Jim had to mention though too that we have started looking at the schedule for next year. We do try and work, which we always want to do. We want to work with the clubs, and we want to be able to get a better relationship with them. So we don't want to take multiple weekends when they have showcases and games and everything else. So we try and avoid as much as we can having to play every other weekend. And that's why we've done the semis and finals on the same day. But next year we're looking at possibly going to the semifinals on the Friday night and then the finals the following day. So the teams obviously get a little bit more rest in between games, but it also helps to set up the, all right, here's who's playing in the finals, and people have time to look at that and make plans for going to the finals at Al Lang again.
In a perfect world, we'd love to get about a week lead-up time to where we can hype the game. You know, people can talk about it. It can get some articles written. We can post on social media about it. People can plan to come. One day lead time is better than 6 hours, but we're moving in that direction, Mike. And David does such a fantastic job. People don't really understand how much he does. I know how much he does because I watch it all happen, but David doesn't say anything. He just makes jokes. But man, there's always a guy. There's always somebody pulling the levers and making it happen. And that's our man, David Wilson. So we're kind of lucky about that. But hey, Mike, we're going to come and see you on February 10th with the Champions League draw for next year. We're super pumped about that.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go as we progress, and then I want to talk about the high school season and get some perspective from you guys. So, February 10th, down here at Ferg's. We're going to have the same draw as we had last time. And it looks like you realized how inept I was on the call or on the air. So you've already got me two guys on each side of me. I'm ecstatic about that versus my scrambling like I did. If you remember last season, I had a young man that very confident to help me. And he got a concussion playing for Osceola that morning, and wasn't there for me. So those guys did a superb job, and I'll just turn the mic over them and hobnob with you guys.
Beautiful, yeah, David. I already talked with Oscar this morning about coming perfect down with Tyler to ride co-pilot with Mike at the draw, and he's on.
Right. Sounds good. Those guys are perfect for it.
Yep, they were superb last year, and I just pulled them out of the crowd. Hey, let's talk about the high school playoffs and when they begin. You know, we had the Boca Ciega girls last week, and that was a great interview, by the way, Jim. I appreciate you setting that up. Those young ladies were excellent, and I'd like to see Bogey having some success, you know, on the public school side. And he's a heck of a young man to lead that charge. Sickles.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Patrick. Yeah.
And the Bogey girls were there, too. And they were
outstanding, too. Yeah, the last two groups, I should say, have been superb.
Yes, no doubt. Now, David, why don't you give us a rundown? I mean, since you're in the fight yourself, leading into the districts.
Yeah, the district play starts on Thursday this week for district play for the boys. Girls start on Wednesday from most of the schedules I see, but finals don't finish up until mid-week next week. We will be doing previews of every district that will be posted on our Facebook page, and right now there's some that are wide open and some that look like they are, here's the team, this is what's going to win, and this is what's going to move on. But there are the ones, which is the 6A, 7 district, which is the one actually that my school Wiregrass plays in. It's Mitchell and Sun Lake are both in it, and the top of it, Wharton is 11 or 12-2 this year. And we're going to be the 4 seed, and given days, our group has been able to play with anybody. So I think that district is going to be the great one to watch. But overall, there are teams that you look at, Jesuit and Tampa Prep, that should have great runs all throughout the state tournament, let alone their own district. But then there's schools like Calvary Christian. You know, this is all on the boys' side right now. Calvary Christian is just playing some really good soccer, and they could make some moves in there. So it's always an exciting time of year. We'll do previews from like 16 different districts and get that all posted up by the middle of next week, by Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll see how right we are.
Well, we'll put it on our social media as well, gentlemen, and we're putting a big push right now to expand the number of followers, and we'll make certain that we get that on our social media as well.
And we promote that, Mike, with our social media as well. We get our people on to you. David, how many followers do we have on Facebook now? 1,100 or something?
Yeah, a little over 1,100. I'm closing in on 1,200 now.
Yeah. So, well, and that's always picking up. And you're helping with that, Mike, and we appreciate that.
Well, bravo. Our numbers, we're putting a huge push with all of our partners in 2024. So there'll be many more followers. Let's just say when we're having this conversation a year from now. You know, one good thing about you know, the playoffs starting high school, it looks like the temperatures are going to warm up later in the week and next week. So that's an advantage for the kids. I don't think the young Floridians like participating in sports in frigid temperatures like the Midwesterners are accustomed to.
Yeah. Mike, let me give you a quick a couple of names on the girls' side. So we got Palm Harbor, Sun Lake, and Cypress Creek, of course, teams to watch. Calvary Christian. But there are a few teams just under the radar, aren't there always, in high school soccer? Teams with one loss, teams with a loss and a tie, teams with only two losses. And they've been a little overshadowed because they weren't in the Champions League this year. So you're going to see some upsets in the districts. Teams like Steinbrenner, for example, they had a really tough draw in the Champions League and didn't make it through. Teams like Academy of the Holy Names, fantastic team, play a very tough schedule. There's more. Plant is always the team. So teams in St. Pete that can make some noise. So there's a lot going on. And like David said, we're going to do a full preview of all the districts on the Facebook page. David does all that work. Thank you, David, for that.
You're welcome.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking time, as you do each and every Saturday, to join us. So looking forward to February. A lot going on then, and we'll be breaking down this high school playoffs all the way through the next 10 to 12 days. And then on February 10th, we'll have some fun down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And I appreciate
hey, Mike,
you. You guys actually you get to kick your feet up this weekend and take a little bit of a break, David. I hope watch a little NFL football.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It was a tough week. We traveled all the way to from Wiregrass to Pinellas Park on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night we were all the way down to Seminole. And then Thursday night I went to the Lightning game, and then last night we had our senior night. So there are lots of late nights, and I'm looking forward to just relaxing this weekend.
Well, make sure you do. Just call Jim. He's the pro at that. He'll show you how
to
do
it. Yeah, I'll work with you, David.
Yeah, he's my relaxation mentor. Yeah, right.
Right. Between the two of you, you guys are my mentors as far as energy. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Go Bucks, and we'll talk some more soccer next week. And I'll reach out to you early in the week, Jim, and I'll make sure that I've got all of David's information in the right place for us. All right?
Beautiful. All right. Take care, Mike.
All right, guys. Hey, let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little more 1-800-BETS-OFF with Ben Botham. I just saw some thoughts on the San Francisco game that I on the big screen here we need to discuss. And then we're going to talk Body Armor Prep Connection with Brad Richardson. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Just 25 days until pitchers and catchers report, by the way, as we look across the street at Tropicana Field. Stay tuned.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard. Across from baseball, Ben Botham, bowling, Ben Botham, betting, Ben Botham, anything with a B.
Hey, I'll take it as long as it's something nice with a B.
Well, there's a couple ways I could go with that, but this is a PG show, so I certainly won't do that, young man. So anyway, I was just, you know, we're talking about Hard Rock and your affinity to, you love that betting app that's mm-hmm. out there. But I just thought about something. And that, my Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers,
mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy last year, Brock Purdy has not won a playoff game. He got knocked out of the playoffs, if you remember, last year.
Yep, that is true. I mean, it's going to be tough to see. I think Green Bay, you know, they proved themselves in the other game. So, I mean, they do have a chance. I mean, every team's always got a chance. That's why you play the game.
Well, yeah, tell that to Dallas Cowboy fans right now. Well, nothing made me happier, I think, this entire football season mm-hmm. than seeing my Green Bay Packers dismantle them at AT&T and poor Jerry Jones, that 81-year-old whiner, sitting up there in his box just beside himself.
Oh, I was so happy, and so was the rest of America. As much as everyone says they're America's team, I don't think America could have been happier. Could have been happier than to see them lose. And can you believe this? That apparently they're gonna keep head coach Mike McCarthy, Mike?
Well, here's the reality of it. He's actually looking at it and putting it on the players. I can't believe he's had three consecutive 12-3 seasons. I can see why he keeps them. Who's going to be the replacement? He's not going to get – Bill Belichick's not going to work for – no one wants to work for Jerry Jones is the bottom line.
No, that's fair.
He's the GM. He meddles in decision-making. He should just step away, get himself a young gun GM, an up-and-comer, and keep McCarthy.
Yeah.
And go from there. But – the reality is, on the defensive side of the ball, they sucked.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't blame the owner of the team. If I were him, I'd be doing the same thing too. If I owned a sports franchise,
you'd be firing everybody.
You'd
be a horrible owner.
If I owned the team, I'd be the manager.
You would be a horrible owner.
Oh, Mike, I'd be an amazing owner. Are you kidding me?
No. You'd be micromanaging in areas where you shouldn't. It's too big of a job these days for one man. That's why you have assistant GMs. That's why you've got sure. this huge staff.
Hey,
it's a completely different than just.
If you got the money, I'd be running it too. But I mean, even some.
It never works. Name one time in the modern era where can't say modern.
I could take you back to
I can take you
1914
back to,
and
oh yeah, I can take you back to George Halas and the Chicago Bears and we can go on and on and on. But in the modern era, one owner that had his hands on everything and had success, it does not work.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen today, but I think a lot of their problems...
it's not happening today. Look at the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problems come from Dak. I don't think Dak is the answer for the Cowboys.
Well, a couple of his teammates said that he's he freezes up during playoffs.
And that's what I was about to say. You see CeeDee Lamb's mother even going to Facebook and commenting, Dak isn't it, saying that Dak
mother,
is not it.
I would be so pissed off at my mother if she was posting things like that, bulletin board material.
Sure.
Your teammates hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just not cool.
It's not.
That's the world we live in these days.
It does suck, and it puts teammates in a
hard
spot.
How would you like it as a baseball coach at Seminole if you had a mother saying that you suck, you should not be the baseball coach,
mm-hmm.
and you have this, you know, this. You have a great resume for your age.
Yeah, it creates a lot of hard feelings. And
yeah.
It's not good. And
I did not know that.
I don't know what you do. But
I thought Lamb handled it with a lot of class.
Yes.
And then his mom did this.
Yeah, family members are getting upset because they're looking at it as...
They wanted to go to Vegas and party.
Yeah, not only that, but you're missing out on a lot of financial incentives as well. And the big
and they got their hands out.
Yes, of course. But I do have to say, I don't think Dak Prescott is the answer. I think that he is probably the most overrated quarterback in the NFL.
He had one hell of a year.
But he doesn't get the job done.
I agree. But there's been many Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Oh, Dan Marino. You're Dan Marino. Where you got? See, you don't like that, do you?
See, but
don't give me any excuses.
Dan Marino
did not win a Super Bowl.
He's playing in a completely different league. You put Dan Marino in today's league with all the protection of the quarterbacks.
Oh, my God.
Dan Marino would throw for a million yards a season.
Yeah, but he'd choke in the big game. He did choke, and you know it. See, you don't like when I remember things, and your dad's probably throwing things right now and turn me off. But that's the bottom line. Dan Marino did not get it done, dude.
No, you're 100% right, but it was a different NFL, it didn't matter
as much. Who cares? Choking's choking in any era.
That is true.
Okay.
It is true.
I rest my case.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's get away from this contentious conversation and talk a little high school again with your buddy, Brad Richardson. What's going on, champ?
Not much. Another day in paradise. What can we say? A little cold outside, but it's still paradise. Although Ben's cold right now.
Do not say cold to someone who just got done talking to his family in Des Moines, Iowa. This is a beautiful, crisp, early spring day in God's country. So let's go with that. But you guys grew up here, so you're freezing your butts off. Anyway,
especially Ben right now.
Yeah, I'm a little too chilly. I'm going to be even colder tonight. I'm going to be on the beach, and I would like to give one little shout out to Miss Wells over at Seminole High School. She's leaving to join the Air Force, and her party is tonight. So just a little shout out to her, and good luck at joining the Air Force, and thank you for all you've been doing.
Well, God bless her joining the Air Force. So and I'm going to warn my old neighbors that you guys are in the neighborhood down there at Sunset Beach. So, Bradley, what do you got on store? This is our Body Armor High School headquarters, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. What do you got on the topics today for us?
Well, first of all, let's start off with one thing. As we talked about in the past, one of the big issues that's been coming up with high school sports in the state of Florida is, of course, NIL. As we all know, there's 32 states that have already passed resolutions for NIL to be in high school sports, and now Florida's one of those that's looking to do it. Here's the thing now. The FHSAA recently wanted to reach out to coaches, parents, players to get their perspectives on this that could be happening in a few years. So if anyone wants to do that, go onto the FHSAA website. They have a little link to take a survey and give input. So this will be very interesting to see what will happen and get the impact and get the feedback from coaches and really how this will affect players going forward, especially ones that are going to be playing football, basketball, even baseball. We'll say that too. So
let me get this straight, Brad. You're saying NIL at the high school level?
Yeah.
They're going to get athletes are going to get paid. Have you heard about this, Ben? Athletes will get paid for playing for Seminole if they're a standout stud and they have all kinds of followers. Are you kidding me?
I think it's ridiculous.
This is horrible.
That's what's going on. Yeah, because it's been something that they've seen in other states that has been, you know, I guess with some of the groundwork that they've laid, some of the regulations that they've enforced with this, it's been quote unquote successful. So now they want to bring that to Florida and go from there. Again, this hasn't been passed yet. This has been proposed by the FHSAA.
It's better not pass, or it's the demise of high school sports, as Ben Botham has said. And here's where I got a real problem. Now I'm getting upset about this. Okay, the excuse for the athletes at the collegiate level wasn't an excuse. It was a rightful position to take. The collegiate athletes getting compensated in some capacity because these schools were making so damn much money. Do you think these high schools are making money off of high school participation in sports? No.
Absolutely not.
In some cases, possibly, some private schools. Maybe. But the fact that they're going to even consider paying these high school athletes to play opens up Pandora's box. The public schools might as well shutter their doors as far as sports. And it's the same thing they're doing to the collegiate game, and it infuriates me.
Well, Mike, it goes back to that old saying, when we were kids, there's no Greed. I in team. That's what it goes back to. And now they're putting the I into team, and it's just doing some damage. So it's all about me now, and that's another
damage. We're talking complete destruction of the systems across America that exist today.
And I think it's dangerous for kids to possibly get taken advantage of here. You already see coaches at a lot of schools who will make a large profit off of kids, whether it's side teams paying for to be on teams during the fall and during other
cash
times
grabs,
of year,
cash grabs,
winter.
They call them.
Yeah, doing that kind of stuff. And I could see them taking advantage of kids, having them come to their program, promising all kinds of deals and licensing and all kinds of money. and then kind of just pulling the rug out from under him, or even taking some money off the top and not giving the players what they deserve because they are so young, because they're, you know, minors. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that this is even a possibility. If you're not at least 18 years old, you shouldn't be able to even do this or even comprehend this.
And you know this, Ben and Brad, the parents are not educated enough. In many cases, unfortunately, many families, are desperate from an income perspective, mm-hmm. and they'll rush for their own personal cash grab at the expense of their son or daughter, and it becomes even uglier.
Yeah, the parents might think this is the only way for them to either get on a team or, like, listen to the coach because I need to do this in order for my son or my daughter to get that playing time. I think it sets
An unbelievable precedent.
That's a bad standard, Ben.
I did not know this was out there looming, and it just goes to show how bad greed and ego in America has gotten, and the greed factor. It's already destroyed the college game, as far as I'm concerned, and it's not going to get any better. And now you want to take it down to the next level. What's next? A 10-year-old phenom who's 6'6", and you're padding his palm with some Benny Franklin, so he comes to your high school? What BS?
Yep, that's unfortunately what the direction that we're going right now. But again, this will not, if it even passes, okay, if it even passes for NIL in the state of Florida, this will not go into full effect until 2025. That's what's been proposed. So, but like I said, the FHSAA is trying to get feedback from parents, coaches, and players just to see how this is looking. So, you know, at least they're looking at, obviously, from both sides, for sure. But, you know, the way I look at it, as we just talked about, yeah, I think it just takes the whole image of what high school sports is supposed to be. It's gone. It's all about now how many followers you have. If you have this sponsorship, how many more followers you can get. It's just the selfishness that it turns into.
All right. Your guys' alma mater, and Ben Botham has brought this up to me, and now I don't have a lot of reach, but I'm going to reach out to a lot of power brokers on this topic. As Ben said, and Bradley, you brought it up, you know, Seminole High School is a prime example. You can't get enough kids out to stay in the classification of football that you're at now. You're telling me that the kids don't want to play sports as much as this Gen Z generation, and it's not completely their fault when you hear issues like this, but you're going to see the complete erosion of high school sports and kids really not wanting to play because I'm a hardworking little scrub and I just want to be on the team and help out the Seminole Warhawks. Ben Botham's on his way to a D1 college and he's walking around with the chicks and he's got his top down on his car. And that's absolute BS.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having the top. Mike, that'd be pretty funny.
You would be one of those greedy little bastards, wouldn't you? Anyway, God.
Can I go back a couple of years?
Yeah, you can go back. All right. This is horrible, man.
Yeah, that's what's going on right now. But you want to move on to some good news,
You got any
though?
Positive news for me? I want positive news. This is a positive perspective in sports.
All right, so we'll actually go to wrestling real quick. Quick shout-out to boys wrestling. This is the dual championships going on in Kissimmee, Florida right now. At Osceola High School in Kissimmee. They started yesterday, and they're going to go till today. They actually have started already. They started at 10 a.m. And regions 1A, 2A, and 3A are up. Good readout right now for Jesuit. Jesuit yesterday defeated Charlotte 51-21 to advance the state dual finals. They're going to be facing off against Merritt Island, and they're, of course, in Region 3, District 9. Individual bracketing, which just shows obviously the individual best of the best in terms of wrestlers in the state of Florida, will begin for the girls, followed by the boys. This all starts February 5th for the girls and February 10th for the boys, and then dates for that. And actually, this is district matchups, I should say, first for individual bracketing. And then states is going to be February 29th. A lot of good stuff going on there. So just a great big shout out to them. Now, there's been a lot of positive this week in high school sports. Benny, you would probably know a little bit about this. Seminole, Class 7A, 9-6 record and second in 5A District 9. Congratulations to Seminole's Colin Way. He hit one of the big milestones in high school basketball. He hit the 1,000-point milestone. So congratulations to him. I mean, Benny, you were probably there that night, weren't you?
I probably was not. We've been having baseball going on recently, so I've been missing, unfortunately, some of the basketball games. So I did miss that game. But
tickets, Ben wasn't there.
Unfortunately,
tickets, Ben Botham was not there.
Those tickets.
Nah, he wasn't there. I guess.
You could have sold those tickets.
It's all digital now, Mike. There ain't no physical tickets.
Oh my God! I'm glad I'm an old man. Everything's digital. Now they're gonna get paid. It's just a sad day in America. I'm gonna have to belly up to the bar and draw my sorrow with some body armor today. Sometime. Oh my God! This is not cool.
I know it. I love collecting the tickets and stuff, Mike. You know me. I'll collect anything. So it is kind of a bummer that there is no tickets or any of this, but it does make it pretty easy. There is GoFan, which is what all Pinellas County schools use, and you can buy tickets beforehand and go to any event that you
really
like. Yeah, it makes it all pretty easy. It's streamlined.
Okay, that's one thing that's kind of cool then. Mm-hmm. Except for if you're an athlete, Brad, and you know, let's just say it was a regional game and you played out of your mind. The good old days, it was nice to have that ticket stub for a reminder. Now all you got is a digital memory that's going to be erased.
Exactly. Yeah,
man, I tell you what, Bradley, I didn't think about this until you brought up, you know, I love wrestling, being from the great state of Iowa where wrestling is king. And there's some superb wrestlers down here, but I didn't realize it was that close already to districts, regional, and state time. Man, time's flying.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and, you know, unfortunately with wrestling, there's not much coverage about it. You'd have to go on a lot of X accounts, Twitter, and all that just to find some information. Florida Wrestling, you know, going on there, they go by Huddle and also the NFHS stream. And if you don't have those accounts, you can't find it. So tracking down some of that information is pretty tough. So, but I think once the individual bracket stuff starts, you'll begin to see more and more posted, and you'll see some of the winners coming forward. Brady Messick, who was on Palm Harbor's football team and also now on the wrestling team, he posts some stuff here and there. But, of course, now once everything begins, we'll start seeing more and more of that stuff come up, especially on a lot of the school's information pages. So.
Well, my friend, I'll have you bird dog that for us and get us as much information as we can, because they're not getting a lot of exposure. That's where we got to step in. And we've had several wrestling teams down. We had Osceola down. We had Jesuit after their state championship team. I think I've only had three wrestling teams down, but we need to change that. And even after the season, recognize these kids, have them come on down and enjoy themselves down here at Ferg's, brought to you by Body Armor. I want to get that done too. Okay.
Alrighty. Yeah. We'll keep searching for that stuff and all that. So.
Anything else you got up your sleeve there, Brad, in this Body Armor Prep Connection segment? You know, it is only 2 weeks removed from the start of the year, so we're just getting that second half rolling. We've got a lot of baseball, softball ahead. We'll have track and field. But right now, it's boys and girls basketball and wrestling at the forefront. When's swimming?
Yeah.
When's swimming here in the fall?
Swimming's in the fall.
Gotcha. Yeah, I forgot. Outdoor swimming down here.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the fact you look around the country and everybody's just, you know, it's the frozen tundra. It's Antarctic. And you guys are practicing baseball.
Yes, we certainly are. We're out there every day. And tryouts, January 22nd, that's the first day you can try out for the teams here in Pinellas County. And so that's when we'll be starting ours at Seminole High School. So it's going to be exciting. We'll have all the kids out there and hopefully put together a really good team this year.
Well, let's talk about tryouts, so how that works. How many kids – do you guys have a JV game, a team?
So in Pinellas County, there is no JV baseball.
Gotcha.
You know,
well, that's
title,
well,
title
Benny,
nine,
Benny, yeah. Benny, wait a minute, Ben. That's for public schools, not private schools. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah. Public schools, there's no JV baseball for Pinellas County schools.
That's not cool. If the private schools have JV, that's not cool.
They can do whatever they want, really. They can.
Well, I know.
Yeah. So there's no JV team, but teams can have like a side program. Like here at Seminole, we have the Nats program, and that's our equivalent of JV.
Good. So if a kid wants to play, he's got an option just to be involved.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great way for kids to stay involved, to kind of work their way up the ranks, and for us to kind of see them develop a little bit. But you do, however, we have just the regular varsity. It's generally a 2, maybe a 3-day tryout.
Okay, how many kids do you keep on the team? 27?
Yeah, I think that's our max.
22.
22. But that's for that's going into districts. But I think you can have what 27 though during the regular season. I could be wrong.
Regular season, you can have as many as you want. You could have up to a 40-man roster, Ben.
Oh wow!
The regular season.
In the regular season, you can have a 40-man roster, but then when districts comes, you got to cut it in half. So.
Yeah.
Oh well, it's good to see that. It's sad for the kids because you guys typically advance. For the kids that have been there all season long, then they don't get a chance to strap it on and wear the Seminole.
Yeah, but we always have a really good turnout. I think just for our fall program, we had around 60 kids show
up.
Did
you really?
And so
that gives me hope at high school sports.
Mm-hmm. So I guarantee you that our spring tryouts, we'll probably have at least another 60 kids coming out to try out.
So you're telling me, Brad, 23 to 25 out for football, and you get 60 plus for baseball. What's that tell you?
Hey, it just all depends on, what they draw in. I mean, the program is the biggest
program.
Thing. So,
yeah. It's the program. Yeah, you guys have built a program that kids want to be proud and still participate in.
Hey, it's the national pastime, Mike. You got to give it to baseball.
Oh, well, I would like to give it to baseball because there's some purity in it still, but it's a struggle, my friend. But I think the 2024 professional baseball season might be one of the best ever.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Mike. I'm very excited. You know, there's a lot of hope here with the Rays. I know we lost some guys, but we did
every year.
Yeah, I know, but the Rays always find a way to at least make it to the postseason recently. And
five straight years.
But the Tampa Bay Rays have agreed to terms for the 2024 season with 8 of their 10 arbitration eligible players.
I saw that.
So that's major news. You have Sean Armstrong, Drew Rasmussen, Shane McClanahan, Isaac Paredes, Randy Arozarena, a whole bunch
names
of
names that we wanted to hear.
Exactly.
Well, Brad, I know you got to get back at it. I appreciate you taking time. Wrestling, I want to make sure we give those kids recognition. Your responsibility is get that baseball team down here in the next couple of weeks as well before they get in high gear. I think we had them down about the same time last year.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So
I'll
coach Adam Horvick and try and get at least the seniors down here because we got some great guys that have signed for some great Division I schools. So very excited for what this year has in store.
And Bradley, I'll give you a call a little bit later today to talk about you calling the game on your pipes on the PA system on February 2nd and compensation, the whole deal. And we'll go over that later today. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All righty. He's Brad Richardson, of course, in our Body Armor High School headquarters. He does do a heck of a job. And you guys have been blessed to have him as the voice of the Seminole Warhawks all this time because he's so passionate about it. I mean, he's got emotional equity in it.
Yeah, he's the best.
Kind of like you do as a coach.
County. Yeah, so we love having him out there. He does a superb job on the mic, introducing our players, having some great music going on during the games. So,
he's the music guy too.
He does it all.
Hey, in high school, can they pick when they come up to the plate? Can they pick the song they want?
Oh yeah,
we have walk-up songs for all of our guys.
Seriously?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Brad does
Benny,
a great job with.
Benny, remember, what's your walk-up song? What's your walk-up song or your pitching song? I should say.
My walk-up song from when I was headed out to the mound was "Pressure" by Billy Joel.
Oh, you're a Billy Joel fan.
I'm a Billy Joel nut. So
the last thing I thought I'd hear out of a high school kid is a Billy Joel song. All right, gentlemen, we're winding down hour number one. We come back, and it's going to be the Bucks stop here. Three former Bucks, Steve DeBerg, quarterback, Barry Smith, wide receiver, and center, Randy Grimes. They're all going to join us back to back to back, and we're going to get their perspective on this 2024 team. Excuse me. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. If I don't...